Anthony in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. This is Open Line, or excuse me, Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. What's your question? Not Open Line. What's your question for Patrick Madrid?
Hey, guys. So what does it mean at Mass when they say, I believe in one holy apostolic church, and how should Protestants take that?
Okay. I think, did you mean apostolic?
Yep.
Is that the word
yes,
you were saying?
That's okay. That's the word. I practiced it for the last 20 minutes while on hold, and I knew I was going to fail.
Oh, I do that all the time. Yeah. I pronounced the name of the ship wrong just 1 second ago, Anthony. I have complete sympathy for you on that. So one holy Catholic and apostolic church, Patrick, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's part of one of the early formulas for describing the church that Jesus established. Now, the word Catholic, which is probably what you're wondering about here, I'll come to Catholic in just a minute. The marks of the church, we Catholics understand there are four marks or characteristics of the church. The church is one in that it has a unity because it is united to Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he didn't mean to say that I am one of many vines or that there are many vines, but one vine. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where St. Paul describes the church as the body of Christ, he says there is one body and many members. So that unity that we have in Christ is specific to the church itself. That's what we mean by one. Holy refers to not the holiness of the individual members, although some of the members of the body of Christ are indeed very holy, some are not. But it's the holiness of Jesus that permeates and pervades the body, the way the sap from the vine permeates all of the branches, and in the same way as the blood that is flowing through the body animates and vivifies all the members of the body. Well, in that sense, the holiness of Jesus is present and always extensive into the body of Christ, and we recognize that holiness in the church. Now, the word Catholic, to come back to that, it can be understood in both of two ways. One way is in the sense of universality. In Matthew chapter 28, in the Great Commission, verses 19 and 20 specifically, Jesus tells the apostles to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations. Now, that phrase, Catholic, it actually comes from two Greek words, which means for the whole. And that's one of the biblical monuments, you might say, of that universality or that Catholicity of the church. It's for all people at all times and all places. It's not just for a certain race of people or for a certain region of the world or a certain country or ethnic group. One holy Catholic and apostolic. Let me stay with Catholic. Catholic can also be understood in a strict, more capital C sense, which is the specific church with its structure and teachings that Jesus established. And we see this, for example, in the writings of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who around the year 107 was on his way to Rome to be martyred. And in the epistles that he wrote seven epistles, one to St. Polycarp and six of them to the different churches. And he speaks in a very matter-of-fact way in one place about he's referring to the church as the Catholic Church. And in these same documents, these same letters, we also encounter him teaching, for example, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And he warns the believers, if you should meet somebody who doesn't confess what we believe about the Eucharist, that it's the flesh of Jesus that suffered for our salvation, then you should avoid that person. And his point was, and he explains this in his letters, that somebody who would believe that did not receive it from the apostles. And he himself was a protege, a disciple of the apostle John. So there we see one example of that kind of capital C Catholicity. He wasn't just speaking generically about a loose confederation of like-minded believers. So that term Catholic should be understood in both the small C universal sense and the capital C, strictly speaking, Catholic sense. And then lastly, apostolic. And that simply means that the church, the Catholic Church, extends in an unbroken line of succession back to the apostles themselves. And its ministry is apostolic. It exercises it celebrates valid sacraments, primarily the Holy Eucharist, and also has valid holy orders. So this unbroken line of connection between the present and the past is apostolic insofar as it goes through the bishops back to the 12 apostles.
Anthony?
Okay, yeah. So how should, I guess I was just curious how Protestants should take that if they happen to go to Mass as a guest or whatnot.
Well, as I say, that's how they should take it. I mean, that's how the Catholic Church means it. And keep in mind that the creed that they might be reciting, even in Protestant churches when they recite the Nicene Creed, that the early Catholics, and we include our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters in this claim here because they were united with us in the Catholic Church before the Great Schism. But in any case, it was Catholics who formulated this creed, and it was with that intention or that meaning behind these words that the creed was formulated. So even though people nowadays might not want to understand the creed, that's how it was written. That's what it meant to the people who actually composed it. And that's, you know, with all due respect, that's how Protestants should understand it, certainly how Catholics mean it today.
Thank you very much, Anthony.